Welcome to the Sports Docs Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bassett.
And I'm Dr. Catherine Logan.
On each episode, we chat about the most recent developments in sports medicine and dissect through all the noise so you know which literature should actually impact your practice. Today, we're continuing our special series of episodes to recap the newest research presented at the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons annual meeting, our largest orthopedic conference. This year, over 20,000 orthopedic professionals gathered at the AOS annual meeting in San Francisco to take part.
On this episode, we are recapping some of the standout posters presented at AOS with Dr. Megan Bishop. If you haven't listened to our last mini episode, what are you waiting for? Go check it out and hear all about the AOS meeting. But today, we're just going to dive right in.
If you're looking for a trusted name in osteochondral allograft transplantation, look no further than JRF Ortho. With a stellar track record and a reputation as the leader in fresh osteochondral allografts, JRF Ortho is here to elevate your practice to new heights.
JRF Ortho has proudly distributed over 25,000 allografts worldwide, making a significant impact in the field. Their passion for this industry goes beyond the numbers. It's about helping patients and fulfilling their mission of improving people's quality of life.
But that's not all. At JRF Ortho, they understand that superior customer care is crucial. They aim to give you one less thing to think about so you can focus on what matters the most, your patients.
And they make ordering JRF Ortho easy. They are committed to accommodating your needs and delivering allografts on your terms.
You're in control. Choose your scheduling option, whether it's specifying a surgical date, providing a date range, or just requesting the earliest available allograft. Your preferences are their top priority.
So, prepare for success. Order with JRF Ortho and take control of your orthopedic journey.
Welcome back, Megan. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Catherine, Ashley, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, welcome.
So our next poster is titled Revision Osteochondral Allograft Transplantation After Failed Autologous Chondrocyte Implantation of the Knee, a Matched Cohort Analysis. So this is another paper by Dr. Brian Cole and his team at Rush, and it sought to evaluate the clinical outcomes associated with revision OCA after a failed ACI as compared to a matched cohort of patients undergoing primary OCA. And so the authors concluded that there was no difference in patient-reported outcomes, number of reoperations, and failure rates. So Megan, what do you take away from this? Does this data give you confidence in proceeding with an ACI or a MACI type surgery, perhaps in the setting of mild bone loss, knowing that revision OCA is a good option?
Yes. And actually that's kind of my algorithm that I usually like to go by. You know, if there's minimal bone marrow edema or kind of any kind of chondral or, you know, undersurface changes in the bone, under the cartilage, then I would usually lean towards doing a MACI. I like the idea of getting to scope the knee first and kind of seeing the cartilage defect. So at that point, you can obviously take your MACI biopsy for a second stage procedure. So it gives me kind of a motivation or a reason to explain to the patient why we're going to go in kind of and do a first look scope to be able to assess the cartilage defect. A lot of times I'll go in there and I'll just debride, do a chondroplasty and kind of debride the area. And patients sometimes get relief for quite some time just from doing that, you know, and it can buy, you know, quite a bit of time for them. And then if they do become symptomatic later, you can always go back and do that second stage procedure of the ACI or the MACI, or the osteochondral allograft, depending on what you're planning on doing. But I feel like an osteochondral allograft is, you know, the kind of the end game type cartilage restoration procedure. So in my mind, without the significant bone marrow edema or bone changes, I like MACI. And then if there is more bone loss or bone marrow edema, I do think osteochondral allograft is usually a better first-line treatment. So, you know, this study does make me feel a little more comfortable using MACI or ACI in some of these defects, knowing that, you know, patients do well in a revision setting with an osteochondral allograft after a failed MACI.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I like to do that initial sort of diagnostic scope too, where it's a little bit of like, okay, let me debride. You know, some people do feel enough better, maybe not perfect. I actually did one of those today. I did do a cartilage biopsy, you know, just to see, but, you know, it was someone that sort of also had some loose bodies. So, you know, that's creating, like, one of them was like over 10 millimeters. So, you know, those things are creating a lot of havoc and discomfort as well. And sort of you do that sort of first stage knowing that you know, they might not even come back, or they might not even need that second stage, depending on, you know, are they changing their activity level, or, you know, is that sport that they were doing done, you know? So I think there's a lot of factors, but I do think that this study is encouraging because it just shows, you know, again, that we have more options, you know, in our cartilage algorithm, and that we have these like reliable revision options, you know, in case that comes up. Ashley, you know, where are you as far as like, you know, doing, are you always doing a diagnostic scope or sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. So I completely agree with what you said about sometimes chondroplasty just really helps these people. If nothing, it buys them some time. But at most, perhaps it can even be curative. If it was the loose bodies, the mechanical symptoms, the unstable diseased cartilage causing, you know, synovitis, addressing that really can be helpful, and to address some other pathology in the knee as well too. So I always do a diagnostic scope. If I think it's a MACI candidate, I do take a biopsy. Those biopsies are good for 5 years. And so it gives that patient ample time to address it if they want to. So I definitely do a diagnostic scope. And I completely agree with the approach that both of you are taking too, that MACI really is ideal. I mean, I don't know about you two. It's a headache for authorization for me in terms of getting it approved. You constantly have to battle. At first, I feel like they deny the procedure, then they deny the implant. It's like a whole headache. But I think it's a really great option for patients. And if it fails, now we know that OCA is a really good backup option. So even if there's some bone loss, I'll do that sandwich technique where I kind of packed in some bone graft and then cover it with the glue, and patients are doing really well with that. So I definitely agree that that's my first line treatment.
And the one thing that stood out to me on this abstract as well, you know, we're saying they had very good outcomes, but there was also almost 50% had a reoperation after the revision osteochondral allograft, which is pretty high. So, you know, I don't know how frequently you guys are going back and operating on your, you know, cartilage restoration procedure patients, but this was also a Brian Cole study who does a ton of these. So, you know, he's an expert in this, and he's, you know, reporting a 50% reoperation rate. So it's probably relatively standard, but that did seem seem high.
I also think, you know, the caveat is people are flying to him with the worst case, you know, scenario, maybe a procedure that perhaps wasn't done well, or maybe not rehabbed well, or maybe the indications weren't perfect, you know, maybe alignment wasn't addressed, you know, there's all sorts of reasons. So he's also, you know, seeing some of the hardest cases. But I also think, you know, like we've talked about before, when Ashley and I've done these, AOS sort of poster reviews, like we only have limited data at this point. So we don't really have all the information about why these reoperations were performed, you know, and like letting us like sort of dig in to those details a little bit more.
Yeah. Like, was it just arthrofibrosis, or like, was it just, you know, a little bit, you know, something like that? Was it minor? But Megan, I feel like you're reading my mind. That was my next question for you, is talking about that reoperation rate and kind of what you see. And I guess my question would be for you, how do you counsel your patients surrounding the idea of cartilage surgery? Like when they're going either a MACI or an OCA, like what are you kind of telling them in terms of what to expect lifelong after the surgery, or reoperation rate, or potential complications that they could experience after the surgery?
Yeah, I mean, I usually tell them at least like an 85% success rate we usually see with this. So it's a pretty successful surgery. We have good long-term data at this point, but really both on MACI and osteochondral allograft, that we can show that this really can help preserve the knee and have good success. I do usually use CPMs for my patient post-op with cartilage. I think it's really helpful. And, you know, we say motion is lotion. It's good for that cartilage to have some stimulation that way. It's additionally obviously helpful in preventing arthrofibrosis and things like that in a gentle, controlled fashion. So I do like to get my patients on CPMs right away after either a MACI or an osteochondral allograft, just to prevent some of that stiffness. I think it's a much higher risk of getting arthrofibrosis and stiffness if you're doing like a concomitant HTO or DFO or something like that. I've seen more of an issue with that. But, you know, sort of stiffness is certainly always an issue. You know, I do let them, it's a long recovery, you know, 6 to 12 months, depending on, you know, what's going on with that. So for return to sport, it can be a long road for patients, and for that graft, you know, to fully incorporate. So a lot of this is counseling patients. You know, I don't think I would tell them that there's a 50% chance you're going to need a reoperation after. that, you know, maybe I should be a little bit more liberal and saying there's a higher chance that you may need to have some kind of concomitant procedure down the line.
Yeah. Hopefully we get a little bit more data on that, you know, just to understand, like, okay, when we counsel, what are those reoperations? Because I agree, like, you know, I use the CPM. It's like the only cartilage is the only procedure that I use CPM. But if it is like, hey, reoperation for like arthrofibrosis, that's a very different thing than like graft failure, right? So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Sports Docs. We hope you enjoyed our discussion as much as we did. Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube to stay up to date on all things sports medicine. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a review. We also love to see your comments and hear about your questions. You can reach us by email at sportsdocspod@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at The Sports Docs Pod and Twitter at The Sports Doc Pod. We love your feedback.